KXL FM, Jacksonville Beach.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
We're at the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Training camp rolls along. The scrimmage coming up tomorrow night. We'll go over the first seven practices. Well, not each and every practice, but in some of training camp so far. Talk a little offensive line. A couple of guys down the last day or two on the offensive line and what they've seen on defense, too. We'll go around the National Football League as well. What's up, guys? How we doing tonight?
Doing fantastic, JP. Yeah.
Hey, nice job on the Gus Bradley show tonight.
Yeah, we need to call it the Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell show. We
need to make one correction, though.
Yeah, there's not a show next week.
I just got done talking
about it earlier with him that next week, you know, week from tonight, we're going to be in New York for the first preseason game of the year. And, of course, it slips my mind at the end. Imagine that.
Yeah. Maybe you're going to be broadcasting both at the same time.
That's not the first time it's something that has slipped my mind or will slip my mind.
That's okay. New York will do that to you.
That's right. That's right. But it's been a good week, JP.
Yeah, it has.
The night practice on Sunday was fantastic because not only did the weather cool off, we had a lot of cloud cover. We got one incredible display of what I like to call spider web lightning across the sky to the west, and it was far away. I mean, it was never a threat. Very cool to see that. And then Players Day off on Monday, Tuesday, not a great practice, but as I said to Dave, it was good to see the head coach respond to that and put his foot down because I think by him doing that, two things. One, it sends the right message, and that he needs to respond to that because it's his football team, but most importantly, it shows that the expectations are higher and that what had happened in the past is no longer acceptable, that there is a higher standard for this football team, as there should be.
At what point, though, is that a player's responsibility to stop things?
Well, listen, you want the players, the leaders on the team to step up, but I don't care how veteran of a club you have. At times, the head coach has to do it because you get in practices like that. And historically, you look at training camp after a day off, a lot of times it's a little bit rough. Guys are coming back. Just a little bit off. And it's not the first time a head coach has to get after guys. And I don't care what the age of the team is. This is a young team, so maybe the head coach has to do it a little bit more. But I agree with Jeff. I thought the message was well-timed and well-communicated, and I think it sent the right message.
I thought the timing of it was perfect because, you know, during the course of practice, they had first of all, let's go back to the early part of practice. They do this it's a 9-on-7 type period. It's just offensive linemen and defensive linemen. We used to call it kind of like a pace party?
Pace party.
And there's no running backs to tackle. It's just fits. And that's a drill that typically should have a little bit of pop. And it was very quiet in that early stage of practice. Mm-hmm. And then you had some fumbled exchanges. You had some drop balls. Illegal procedures defensively, you know, trying to get people on the field that should be on the field. It wasn't smooth. And then towards the end of practice, there was a false start. And poor Bowman, the young tight end from South Alabama, I believe it was, has a false start. It might have been his only false start that he's had all of training camp. But they end practice on that.
It was the last play.
No, it wasn't the last play. They still had more to do.
Oh, did they have more?
Oh, yeah, they had more to do.
They had a walkthrough to do.
They still had more to do.
I forgot. They canceled everything.
So here's Bowman, some undrafted rookie from South Alabama. The practice gets called off because of his false start, and he's probably going, oh, I'm going to get cut. You know, but it was perfect timing by Gus because, you know, it stopped on a play that was representative of kind of how the overall tone of the practice was to let him know at that point that that's not good enough.
They come out the next day and have a good practice, though.
That's the idea
behind it.
I thought it was a great practice, and I think that some of the design of the practice made it that way because there was One period that it was the first time that I had seen it this year, and maybe it was because I was down watching the big guys, but it was essentially a one-on-one period where the linebackers and defensive backs, or the linebackers, running backs, and tight ends are all there, and they may be in man coverage or they may be blitzing. And so it's a pass protection thing for the running back and a blitz pick or blitz job by the linebackers, or they may be covering a tight end or a back or whatever. And so, and then you had one-on-one against defensive backs and wide receivers. And so it was a highly competitive practice, and I think that the way that it was structured allowed that to happen to follow a day up in which it wasn't so good.
Hmm. Do you guys remember a practice in your day that was stopped early by Tom?
No, we usually went restarted. Longer. Yeah. Start over.
Restarted. All the way back to stretch.
I'd have been fine if we ended it early. But I mean,
no, but with the CBA rules now,
you can't
restart it.
That's right.
But yeah, we'd start periods over.
Start them all the way over.
Start the whole 9
back
on 7.
Back to play one.
You know, you'd be after 8 plays and 9 on 7 not going well, start it over.
You could be on the last play of a 15-play period, and if it wasn't, you know, it was not kind of, you know, marginal in the first, you know, 13 plays, and then play 14 is a bad play. That's it. We're starting it over again. Go all the way back to play number one.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, certainly couldn't do that today.
No, because you're
well, made it easier, too.
Yeah, it's timed out on practice.
Made it easier, too, for the defensive players because then it was the same place as before. It was on the script, so you could adapt and adjust.
Yeah, it was great. Especially if it was the offense's fault that wasn't sharp.
Then it became harder.
It became harder because we were going to go – we were already having a bad day, and our head coach was an offensive-minded coach, so – the defense could have a great practice.
Defense never had a bad day,
and
according to him.
And if the offense had a bad practice, it was a bad practice for everybody. If the offense was killing the defense.
Way to go.
Great practice.
Way
that's
to
the way to practice.
Right, that's Chris, boys.
What are you talking about? You're not mad at the defense for us just gashing them for two straight hours?
And that's the thing about, you know, about practice when you're just practicing, you know, with your own team. Is that, you know, you as a head coach, you know, it's probably hard to find a balance of what is considered good for the team and what is considered bad. Because, you know, one side is doing good, one side is not doing good.
But I think the issue on, I guess it was Tuesday's practice after the day off on Monday, wasn't one side, you know, doing good and one side doing bad. I think the issue on Tuesday was lackadaisical. First day of pads, mental errors. Mentally, they weren't into it. I don't think they came with the right approach.
Well, and I want to add something.
I think that's what frustrated Gus.
I want to add something to that because, you know, there's a lot of people that have talked about it, whether it been, you know, at a bar, at a, you know, coffee room, sports talk radio, and it's like, how in the world can the first full pads practice be bad? And, well, in reality, the first pad of practice was on Saturday.
Saturday, the shoulder pads only, right?
Well,
right.
But there's no differentiation.
It's all the same.
It's not, yeah, and that's one of the point I want to make is that just because you put thigh pads and knee pads in now on Tuesday doesn't make Tuesday any different than Saturday's practice or Sunday's practice.
Not one bit.
So for me, yes, it was the first full padded practice, but in reality, it was the third padded practice because the tempo is the same. If you're
same
in shoulder
drills,
pads,
nothing changes.
Or you add thigh pads and knee pads. Doesn't change.
I know that Saturday was the first time I finally went down and watched one-on-ones, offensive, defensive line. You didn't watch them in shorts or
no,
anything.
You're not going to watch
shoulder
them
shoulder pads
shorts.
On, let's go.
Not worth
That's
watching.
When it got real.
Not worth watching until the pads going for the big guys.
Right. We'll get to left tackle and pass rush coming up a little later in the show. But can you answer any questions right now about this team we had coming into camp? Is anything in your mind, Tony, maybe some camp battles? It's too early, right? It hasn't even been a preseason game.
No, I think there are some questions that have been answered so far.
You think so?
Yeah.
Like what?
For me, at least, Dante Fowler's the real damn deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first question that was answered. Mm-hmm. And Jeff and I's over-under of 5 sacks is way too low.
Yeah, but you know what?
Because he's a really good player.
Yeah, he's
– I mean, now, listen.
We're a weekend.
I don't care if it's an hour in. The kid steps on the field, and you realize immediately he's different. He's a special player. Now, you got to stay healthy, and you got to get through the grind of 16 games, and it's the first time he's done it. And so there's going to be bad days, and there'll be bad games, but there's going to be a lot of really good games. He's a special player, and I mean, I didn't know. I mean, you thought, you hoped.
Right. Haven't seen it.
The other thing that, you know, I learned, Jalen Ramsey is he's an NFL corner. Now, you got to do it in NFL games, but the way he moves, because remember, we didn't get to see him because of the knee. And the fluidity of his hips and his ability to use his length and press, his competitiveness.
His
arrogance, which you need to have. That's a compliment for a corner. You have to have that. You have to be very self-confident. And so confidence is a better word than arrogance because arrogance is negative. His confidence, he's the real deal. I mean, so you got two top five picks on this team that, you know, barring injury, and God forbid that happens, you get two guys who are going to be special players.
Very special. You know, there's a lot of talk this week. There were a couple days in a row where I think Allen Robinson beat Ramsey a few times. A few guys beat Ramsey a few times.
Yeah.
But Ramsey's
corner.
It's a rookie corner.
I don't care.
Any corner is going to
That's going to happen.
Deion
right?
Sanders is going to give up a catch.
Right.
You know, I mean, that happens. But
By the way, I just want to make sure everyone realizes this, too. I mean, I don't know if this is breaking news or not, but Allen Robinson is pretty good.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'll note that.
If he wasn't beating, if he wasn't catching balls, I'd be like.
Yeah, Allen Robinson showing.
He's like the real deal. He's the number one receiver.
You know, last year we
pro
saw.
Pro bowler, right? Yeah, I mean, he's the real deal.
Well, here's the thing with Allen Robinson. Last year, you know, a couple years ago, he was trying to figure it out. And, you know, so you saw some things that looked pretty good. Last year, you started to see flashes of, wow, the elevate in the end zone to catch a ball. Making a contestable catch, and it was flashes. Now, and I said this to Tony today, he's diving for a ball, no pads in the tight red area because he's so competitive.
And yeah, Jeff goes, I don't like seeing that. I go, good luck telling him not to because that's who he is.
But, you know, instead of the flashes, it's a consistent thing with him now. And I think that's where you have players that go from good to – you know, being possibly great, and that there's a consistency about them, and that you start to see instead of flashes, that's just who they are. And that's really good to see. And, yeah, going back to Jalen Ramsey, I'm going to say this again. For the fans that come out and watch the scrimmage and or are going to be watching on Jaguars.com for the live broadcast of the scrimmage.
That's right.
When the cameras are on Jalen Ramsey, watch him in a stance. Because when he lines up in his stance, he doesn't twitch, he doesn't move, he doesn't lean. He is super confident, and the confidence is just—it's like a glow about him because he knows it. He doesn't have to cheat. He doesn't have to lean. He's just going to react, and he's going to play ball. And I think the other thing that's encouraging about him is that when you see him communicate with other defensive backs on the field. He knows what he's talking about. You know, he is a very much a student of the game, and I think that's impressive for a young player. Whereas Miles Jack is still trying to figure it out. Yeah. You can see him start to kind of gain where he's starting to bark out changes of the defense and, you know, where the strength is. And
but in fairness, Jeff, in fairness to Miles Jack, though, he has a much tougher mental mental position. I mean, he's a quarterback of the defense. I mean,
way tougher.
He's directing traffic. He's getting people lined up. He's making huddle call. He's, you know, it's apples and oranges as far as the mental aspect and what's put on the shoulders of Miles Jack mentally compared to Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey's a corner, and a lot of times in this defense, you're playing, you know, cover one or cover three, meaning you're either in man outside or you have a deep third.
Yeah, what's impressive about
and
him?
And guess what?
And he's really got two positions now. He's playing nickel too.
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm just saying, wouldn't you agree, the middle linebacker in this defense is a lot more volume to worry about.
Much more because you know what you're worried about. First of all, you're worried about the checks. You're the captain of the defense. But then as a player, as an individual, you got to get people lined up. And then after that, then you have to worry about what your responsibilities are when it's a run, if it goes that way or if it goes that way, or if it's a pass. And what's the coverage going to adjust based on motions and everything else? I mean, so there's so – as a linebacker, I can tell you, my first year I was a linebacker. You had to worry about a lot. Now, playing defensive line
– you guys aren't very smart.
Get upfield.
You don't have to be smart to play
defensive
line.
Come on. You know, give me a good book to read when they go over the assignments after the first day.
Okay, you have outside – Okay, go hit. Got the, it. Go hit the. Got
it, coach.
Go hit
Got
the quarterback.
It.
On this front, you have a two way go. You can go inside or out. Okay,
cool.
Great.
This one here, you slant inside. Great. Cool. Got
That's it.
It.
Thank you. Playbook's in.
But there were some guys they had to be told that like 50 times.
Some guys still haven't gotten it.
Man, Kool-Aid, he was one of, he had to tell him like 50 times.
Kool-Aid?
Kool-Aid, yeah. He's a guy that I played with in New York. He had a huge head.
Oh, yeah. Like the Kool-Aid man?
Yeah,
like
you remember the Kool-Aid jug?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he used to say. That's right.
Yeah, his nickname became Kool-Aid because of the size of his head. And the size of his head didn't represent the capacity of his brain. We had to go over a lot of things multiple times because Kool-Aid couldn't get it.
Wow.
And it's not exactly rocket science playing defensive line. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll come back and break down the Jags' offense, including the left tackle battle. Tony Boselli will weigh in like he always does. SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. Oh, yeah, it's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
I'm Frank Franzi, play-by-play voice of the Jaguars. Join me tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 6 right here on 1010XL.
Home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Hi folks, Frank Frangie here for the best barbecue in town, that's Bono's. And now it's the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, you can get Bono's barbecue at 6 different locations in Everbank Field. You also get Bono's barbecue at 15 locations all around town with fast, friendly service, clean family restaurants, and that great, great taste of Bono's barbecue. So if you want great barbecue, you want Bono's. And remember this, if there ain't a pit, it ain't legit. That's Bono's.
Amanda Borges here for Dreamfinders Homes. Jacksonville is home to the first of its kind hospitality show home at Gate 4 of Everbank Field. Stop by Dreamfinders Homes Stadium Home before any Jaguar home game for a model tour and register for a chance to win amazing prizes, including iPad minis and Apple Watches. Dreamfinders Homes will select one winner per home game. Dreamfinders Homes, the official home builder of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Whether it's on the practice field or in the heat of a game, the Jaguars are tapping into their full potential each and every day. You can too, with a home equity line of credit from Everbank, where they're making it fast and easy to tap into the equity in your home so that goals like that new kitchen or consolidating debt may finally come to life. To get the ball rolling on your new line of credit today, stop by a local Everbank financial center or visit everbank.com/lending team. Competitive rates and superior service are just around the corner. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Everbank is an equal housing lender. NMLS 399805.
This is Tim S. Marshall, president of Copytronics, a Konica-Minolta company. Konica-Minolta is an innovatively powerful worldwide company, leaders in super technology that can help your company grow. Konica offers powerful software solutions, exceptional IT services, and award-winning digital copier systems. Konica is ranked as one of the best companies to work for by Forbes magazine. Partnering up with the Jacksonville Jaguars, this is Tim S. Marshall, president of Copytronics and market vice president of Konica. Konica Minolta Business Solutions.
Technology today is always changing, but one thing has remained consistent for the past decade in Jacksonville. CSI Tech is your partner for finding the top IT talent in Northeast Florida. Across the full spectrum of IT positions, CSI Tech can find the right fit for you. And with their award-winning people, done right philosophy, you can feel confident in the results. Call CSI Tech at 800-582-0828 or go to peopledoneright.com and partner with CSI Tech, part of the CSI companies and proud partner of your Jacksonville Jaguars.
This is Coach Gus Bradley. Join Jeff Lagerman and me every Thursday night at 6 for the Gus Bradley Show here on the home of the Jaguars, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
In terms of the health of Beecham right now, and then he got a little bit sore, so we had him out today. But he has had some work at both guard and tackle, and Luke has done the same. So we'll continue to evaluate that when Beecham gets a chance to come back out and practice again. To be honest with you, we weren't sure whether he'd be able to start right away. So we were happy with the fact that he was able to start with us from day one on a limited basis. And really, it's preventative right now. Like I said, a little bit sore, so we thought it... for his best interest, we'd give him a day of rest here today. We'll see as we go forward, but it wasn't anything that we didn't see coming.
Greg Olson, Jaguars offensive coordinator, a couple days ago discussing Kelvin Beecham. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Register now for the second annual Jaguars 5K Stadium Challenge, Saturday, August 13th, under the lights at Everbank Field. Online registration has been completed by yours truly, and it's also available at firstplacesports.com. Tony, have you registered?
Now, where do I register? I don't even know where.
Firstplacesports.com. Listen to the liner.
Firstplacesports.com. All right.
There was a little smack talk.
We're
today,
going in wave five,
wave
so
five.
Be ready.
Now, you get to pick which wave you're in.
I'm already in wave five. You better just...
Yeah, but what if he registers and he can't get in wave five? Wave five.
I get a stake, it sounds like.
You just walk over to wave five.
I mean, come on. Kick us out?
His name's on the stadium we're running through, yeah, so he can do whatever he wants.
He can go on the wave he wants.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the last wave, right?
That is the last and final wave.
Why are we doing the last wave?
Because you're like the slowest of anybody that's going to be doing it.
I don't want people to trample you.
What if I trample people? I'm going to be going fast.
I don't think you're going as fast as you think you are.
I should probably be in wave one.
Oh, the competitive runners, huh? Oh, okay.
Never in your life have you ever been competitive eating in a wave one.
Competitive eating contest, maybe. I'll give you that one. So we just heard from Greg Olson there. Kelvin Beecham's missed the last couple of days off to the side. As a precaution more than anything, this is, like you guys said in the Gus Bradley show, this part of an ACL recovery.
He got sore. That's typical. Me and Tony were talking about it for a while today on the practice field because Kelvin wasn't out there. And Tony and I both had similar experiences that sometimes the only thing that helps the knee, it's not necessarily work harder or get more treatment or get more ice. Sometimes it's just...
shut it down.
Go over there and lay on the couch and watch TV for a day. Sometimes that's the best recipe or solution to an ACL reconstruction. The body needs recuperative time. And is he even at 9 months?
I don't know
the exact date of his surgery.
I think he's right around nine.
He's right at nine.
It's close.
Yeah, it's longer than that. Because he got hurt the sixth game of the year, so that's mid-October.
Yeah.
So November, December.
Not quite nine.
That's 10. I mean, that's two, and then we're in the eighth month right now. So it's nine and a half right now.
Nine and a half. And I can tell you when I was at nine, I didn't think I was near ready. It took me almost when I finally stepped back on the field, I was like 11 and a half months. And I still didn't feel completely normal at 11 and a half. I mean, everybody is different. I mean, there are guys like Dante that, like Dave said earlier on the Gus Bradley show, from the moment he stepped out on the field for practice, looked like he had never had anything wrong with him.
Yeah, I played at eight and a half months. I played. Yeah, I played a game. Now, I wasn't ready. But
you're also like superhuman. I mean,
I'm super hard-headed. And I told Jeff, I played all 16 games that year. But for the first eight, it was miserable. My knee hurt so bad. And I remember, like yesterday, the game before the bye week, we're playing the Dallas Cowboys in old Texas Stadium on that hard turf. And I knew I had to bye the next week, and I go out to warm up.
This is funny.
And I couldn't get in a stance. I couldn't bend my knee to get in a stance because it hurt so bad. Had some fluid. It was just torture. And like, you're all right? I'm like, not really. But I told myself, just got to get through this week. And I did what I had to take before the game.
Modern medicine, baby.
To get through that game.
Some of the things that they used to allow, they don't allow anymore.
And played fine. And I did nothing for the entire week. And to Jeff's point, I iced. That's all I did is ice. maybe came and did some leg raises, no weight, no lifting. 1 week of just no practice, nothing. And I came back for the last 8 games that year, and I never had pain in my knee again, and it felt normal. I needed rest. I just needed to just give a break.
I had a moment when I remember the last preseason game, you know, that what they were doing with me is that I didn't play the first preseason game. Second one, you know, maybe 8 snaps. The third preseason game, maybe 15. And then the last preseason game, I remember it very well. It was in Washington against the Redskins. I had like 23 snaps, 24 snaps, somewhere in that range, which would have represented about a half a game for me. And I felt good. You know, I had a sack and feeling pretty confident, and got back to New York that night and woke up the next morning. I couldn't walk. And, you know, I had a couple days off and still, you know, going into practice that week. I mean, I struggled to where the first game of the year, I mean, I struggled. It took me 2 weeks to recover from that last preseason game where I could feel like I could move around sufficiently enough to be effective. But then it was all the way until probably 13 and a half months before I felt, okay, I'm good. But it took a while.
All this knee talk, how has Kelvin Beachum looked when he's been in teamwork?
Well,
He hasn't done
one-on-ones. He's done very little team. I think he's probably done a total of, what, 10 to 12 snaps the entire camp. Watching him in individual, he is very athletic. He has great feet. He moves well. Team, he looks all right. You know, he doesn't look overly comfortable yet, but he looks fine. I mean, not like it's like, oh, my gosh, he can't play. I mean, you can just tell watching him play last year and watching him, he's still trying to get his feet underneath him and get comfortable with the knee. Individually, he looks great, and he's going to be fine, though. I mean, that's not even – I'll be honest with you. It's really not a concern for me. As long as he's a pretty hard-headed individual, too, and he pushes it. And Dave talked about how hard he works in rehab. I mean, he pushes the envelope with that thing, and so he's got to be smart. He's one of those guys. There's different guys in the NFL. There's guys that you have to push to get back out there. And then there's guys you got to put the reins on and pull them back and say, no, 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 no. You got to protect themselves against themselves. And Kelvin falls into that second category where he's going to push the envelope, and the trainers and the medical staff and the head coach are going to say, oh, slow down there, big guy. We don't kick off until, you know, the weekend after Labor Day in September. We got 5 weeks. Let's take our time. You know, let's get you ready for the opening day. And if he does that, he'll be fine.
Luke Jokel today had, I believe, more reps at left guard than at left tackle, but to be expected. Remember, he hasn't played guard ever in his life until recent camp coming up. So
it tells us more than that to me.
Well, that's where he needs to be.
Yeah,
I mean, look,
he's going to be the starting left tackle opening weekend. I'd bet a lot of money. I mean, I don't know.
Left tackle?
No, left guard.
Left guard.
No one's told me that. Jeff and I have talked about it, You know, trying to get anything out of Dave and Gus and the coaching staff about stuff like that, you know, you better, you know, hypnotize them and put them under and try to give them truth serum.
Here's the thing.
But the reality is,
our eyes tell us that.
No, our eyes tell us that. Another thing that tells me that, when Kelvin Beachum was out yesterday, Luke Jokel took all the reps at left guard, and Wellesley was the starting left tackle.
Yeah, but what I mean by our eyes tell us
I know what you're saying, but also the position working.
Yeah, I mean, Tony's talking about how, you know, they're handling the reps. But what I'm talking about is me and Tony both see with our eyes that Luke Jokel still has some issues with certain things at left tackle that haven't gotten a lot better. And that those are issues that Kelvin Beachum, if you watched his film from Pittsburgh, that he's never had issues with, you know, at least recently. And so, you know, it kind of goes to the comment that I made back a long time ago, and that, you know, you really can't make it a true and tried and true competition because you just don't have time. You know, because if you're going to have one or the other play another position, which none of them have played at the NFL level yet, you've got to get them ready for that position. So you're making the competition based on history and evaluating the game film of the players in the past, and that has to factor in.
And then
also your eyes.
I think where they're at is if everybody's healthy opening game, Kelvin Beachum will be the left tackle and Luke Jokel will be the left guard. And with that mindset is you get Luke Joeckel as many reps as possible left guard, and that's what I see them doing right now. If Kelvin Beachum's not ready, Luke Joeckel can go play left tackle. He's done it for the last 2 years. That's his position of comfort as far as where he's played. He knows the offense there, and he can slide out there, and you can put someone else at left guard, whoever.
Shatley or Bernadeau
or whoever it is.
Whatever.
And so that's why we're seeing Luke Joeckel get a lot of reps at left guard, and I think there are people that think he'll be a better left guard than left tackle.
I'm not overly impressed with Bernadeau. I thought that coming into training camp, you know, he's got some games under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he comes from the Dallas Cowboys, you know, whatever that means.
Nothing.
But
they have a notable offensive line that's had success there. That's why.
Yeah, well, I mean, your first thought is that, you know, look, they've got some Pro Bowlers there.
Yeah.
And because he's not starting for them, maybe he's pretty good player, and he's just having
like
hard
Parnell
breaking into the lineup. Yeah,
like Parnell. Look what we got there. Very, very good right tackle.
But I think he's just okay. Omame is a guy that they acquired late, and he's a guy that I would like to see get some reps at guard as well. I think he's looked pretty good so far.
But listen, it's still early. You got all training. I mean, you got all the games. I mean, position battles are won in preseason games. You set yourself up for reps during practice, but ultimately they're going to be won during the preseason games. And it'll be very telling is a week from tonight. Calvin Beachum's not going to play. I'd be shocked if he plays at all.
No, he's not going to play.
I mean, I just don't see him playing. What is the starting line? My guess is it'll be Josh Wells, left tackle, and Luke Joeckel, left guard. That is my guess. Could be dead wrong, but that's my guess. Because I think they want us to get Luke Joeckel as many reps at left guard. I think people are very confident that he's going to be a very good left guard. Because if you look at where Luke Joeckel the past 2 years has had trouble, it's with wide rushers in space. When he has at the offensive tackle position, when he had a defensive end touching him, meaning any part of his technique was touching Luke Joeckel in a stance, he did not have any problems. He was very solid. He's a powerful guy. He run blocks very well. The only time he ever got in trouble, which is magnified when you're playing left tackle because it happens a lot as far as you're in this position, but the few times he had trouble is in space. And I think they're very confident that if they get him at guard where he's going to be an inline player the entire game, that what they saw when he was in those positions at left tackle is going to translate in his athletic ability to be on the pole, get to the next level, and still have the power is really going to translate very well for this team.
I think he starts at left tackle, but then he's going to end up moving to guard for that game. And what a great game to get some evaluation of him at guard, because the Jets have a pretty good defensive line in the interior. Yep.
Yeah.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags. Proudly serving the residents and businesses in Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. A little defensive talk when we return. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
It's all Jaguars and all NFL weekdays from 10 to noon. Mike Dempsey with coaches and players. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Home of the Jaguars.
Get to Jack Hanania's Hyundai of Orange Park in Westside Hyundai now and drive a new 2017 Elantra or 2016 Sonata with no payments until next year. Plus, they're backed by America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles with Hyundai Assurance. Rush to Jack Hanania's Hyundai of Orange Park on Blanding and Westside Hyundai on Cassett. Shop online at HyundaiofOrangePark.com and WestsideHyundai.com. With approved credit on select models plus tax, tag, title, and fees. Payments are deferred. See dealer for details.
U.S. soccer is back at EverBank Field. The U.S. men's national team is back in action in a World Cup qualifying match, and tickets are available now. Watch Clint Dempsey and Michael Bradley take on Trinidad and Tobago live September 6th at 8 p.m. under the lights in Jacksonville. Come watch the best soccer players in the U.S. make their push for the World Cup on the world's largest video boards at EverBank Field. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com or call 800-745-3000.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's. Freaky fast. Freaky fresh.
Jimmy John's, America's number one sandwich delivery. Fast at speaking. I'm on my way.
I'm in the backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir. Freaky fast and freaky good. But I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in a doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side.
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's. Freaky fast. Freaky fresh.
The Ford Freedom sales event is on, and 0% Ford credit financing is back. Plus, specially tagged vehicles get 1,000 smart bonus cash. That's freedom from interest with Ford, America's best-selling brand. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit limited term financing. Supply of vehicles with smart bonuses limited. Not available on Focus RS, Shelby GT350, Transit, Transit Connect, E-Series, F650, and F750. See dealer or go to Ford.com for qualifications and complete details. For all offers, take new retail delivery from dealer stock by 8-1-2016. Sales claim based on 2015 calendar year sales.
Brian Sexton here. There's nothing better than the cheer of Jaguars fans on game day. That's the same sound you could be making as a winner of the Dreamfinders Homes Take It to the House promotion. As the official home builder of the Jags, Dreamfinders is offering a chance for you to win $100,000 towards a new home. All you have to do is visit a Dreamfinders model to register. Now that's something to cheer about. For more information, visit DreamfindersHomes.com for models near you. And oh yeah, go Jags!
GEICO presents Unanswerable Questions.
Can a person daydream at night? Why aren't eyebrows considered facial hair? Or the most perplexing of them all, why doesn't everyone switch to GEICO when they could save 15% or more on car insurance? But you could be a part of the answer by switching to GEICO and saving hundreds for yourself. Money you could put toward a campaign for eyebrows to be properly recognized as the facial hair they are.
GEICO, the answer to savings. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
This is Coach Gus Bradley.
Well, you won't be great till you do your job.
On your flagship station for Jaguars football, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Dante and Yannick are like the same player. You know, definitely have speed, high motors, high energy. They're very smart. They take coaching very well. You know, me and Yannick have been working on games to go out there and do, and just his the way he kind of just absorbs it in, and we can go out there and do it without even talking to each other. It's awesome. So, you know, I think they're the same player. A lot of upside, so we just got to get them right. They definitely have a lot of confidence. You know, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. We'll see. You know, we'll see.
Malik Jackson earlier today discussing Yannick Ngakoue and Dante Fowler Jr. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass. Catch one today. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. We have mentioned Dante Fowler tonight, but we have not mentioned Yannick Ngakoue yet. What do you make of seven practices in the young man from Maryland?
I like the way he has very good hands as a pass rusher. He is definitely ahead of the curve when it comes to technique. He actually sets people up. He's got moves. He bends the corner and turns that toe in very well.
The inside toe. Is that
yeah, that's yeah. One of the, you know, when we talk about pass rushers that are on the edge, there's some pass rushers that we call can bend it. And by bending it, part of the process of that is their inside foot has to point towards the quarterback. The ones that can't ever turn that foot towards the quarterback, which is it's kind of stressful on the knee and the hip, and you got to have flexibility to do that. The ones that can't do that end up getting just pushed up the field, and they don't ever generate any power in the direction that they need to be going. Well, Ngakoue knows how to bend it. Tyrone Holmes has ability to kind of get that toe pointed in and bend it. But I think Ngakoue, we know what he can do as a pass rusher at the collegiate level. We expect him to do well at the pro level as a pass rusher. But in order for him to be able to be effective as a pass rusher, you got to get on the field. And you have to be able to play the run. And somebody's going to have to be able to give Dante Fowler breaks at the Leo position on first and second down. That area I want to see him get better at, because that's an area that he was not very good at the University of Maryland.
Mm-hmm. He brings a lot of intensity, too. He's a hard-nosed guy. He has a little bit, he has a lot of edge to him, which you need to be effective as a defensive player, I believe. I think really any player. I think the best players always have edge to them. And he definitely has that. And I'll be interested to see how he matches up to NFL tackles when you're out there. Like, I think on third and long, he's going to be very natural for all the reasons Jeff talked about. I'll be interested to see how he matches up when it's, you know, second and seven or second and five and third and four, third and six, and when, you know, it's a little bit of a doubt. Exactly, and you got to be able to play both. And how he reacts to that, to the bigger, big, powerful offensive lineman. I think he's going to be I think he's a very good pass rusher right now. But, you know.
For where he's at.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see
how. At this stage, he looks good.
You mentioned Holmes. How about Werner? What have you seen out of the
nothing.
Fourth-year guy?
Nothing.
Nope. First-round pick.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I remember, you know, when we were leading up to a draft show, he was one of the guys that was talked about as possibly being drafted by the Jaguars in that position that they were at. And I remember watching the film on Bjorn Werner, and I kind of said, you know, he's a good player, but he's not worthy of a first-round pick. And Ryan Grigson obviously felt differently of the Indianapolis Colts, and it's fortunate that he had Andrew Luck as his first-ever draft pick. I think otherwise he would be out of a job. Because he's missed on some guys, and not to mention that he gave up a first-round pick for Trent Richardson.
Who got cut this week.
Yeah, who got cut by the Ravens and is out of a job. Was it, what, a top-five pick?
Mm-hmm.
And showed that in Cleveland he wasn't worthy of giving up a first-round pick. But but to go back to Werner, he gives great effort. He looks the part. But there's, you know, with Ngakoue and Dante and Malik Jackson, I mean, these guys that are considered, you know, or potentially could be really good players in the league, they have something about them that makes them stand out. And, Tony, if you were having watched Bjorn Werner for a week, would you have any fear as an offensive tackle of blocking Bjorn Werner?
Let me answer it this. The only way you have to be able to get a good offensive lineman on his heels off his mark. The only way you can do that is you have to have quick twitch explosiveness, in my opinion. If you can't get off the ball and you can't get into an offensive lineman before he's ready for you to be into him and have something at the point of contact where you can snap your hips and give that little pop in the short burst, I think it's very difficult to win. Great effort, but he just, to me, what I've not seen that ability to do that. You know, he smart player, tough player. He's going to give you everything he's got. I just don't, you know. I think he's going to have a tough time making the team.
I think what he is a guy that, okay, he's in camp and not going to make it. But if all of a sudden week four, week five, week six, whenever, you get an injury and you need a guy, he might be one of the first ones you call. Just because he's been in the system, he knows it, he can come in and step in and be able to contribute right away in an injury situation. But as far as making the 53-man roster the way the roster is right now, no.
If there's somebody out there that with better physical ability but not been in the system, you go with that guy, right, instead of Werner in that case, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you would, but, I mean, if, you know.
But you learn the system.
It depends on who the player is.
Like
and
you
how
said, defensive lineman, it's one job. Get to the quarterback, right?
Well, that's not in all
general,
it is,
yes.
But it's, you know. I mean, you would have to, you know, give me an idea who it would be.
Well, let me put it this way. Bjorn Werner is going to have a really good preseason to make this club. Because right now, you know, he's a third Leo at best. And that's if, you know, Holmes has a little bit more pass rush ability than he does.
And remember, Scooter's playing over there some too now.
And Scooter has some power to him.
I've said this before. I think Sheldon Day can play Leo.
And
pretty incredible to see, actually. He's a big guy.
He can move.
A guy like Werner, if you don't have that pop, I mean, there's guys who've had success and played a long time who don't have that, but they're great with their hands or they're great with their hips and they can make
Sheldon
you miss.
Sheldon Day would be a better Leo right now.
They can just do something that gets you uncomfortable. And I just haven't seen that, whatever, one thing, you know, or they have a great bull rush. They're just so strong, even though they can't shock you from their explosiveness, they lean on you and they just can push you back and you can't do anything about it. And that sets up everything else. And I just haven't seen that one thing from Werner yet.
And maybe we'll see it in the games. I don't know.
Yeah,
but haven't seen it yet.
Who knows when the lights come on. You mentioned Day. Sheldon Day's looked really, really good so far.
I mean, to me, in no pads, he really stood out.
just because he goes so hard in practice. He's got great practice habits. Hasn't shown up as much once the pads have gone on, but he still makes an impression, a very positive impression on you. He penetrates. He's got good hands. Practices hard. He moves extremely well for a big guy. And that's why I said that I really believe that he could play Leo in some situation. And if you watched this film at Notre Dame, and for those that are, you know, serious Notre Dame fans, Sheldon Day played everywhere on that defensive line. He played on the edge as a stand-up guy. He played with his hand on the ground and the inside. And probably the most impactful plays that he had at Notre Dame were when he was on the edge because he's fast. I mean, he's for a big man, he moves.
Well, man. But he's a small big man.
Yeah. Small big man.
And so, you know, where he's got to play on the edge, and that's why when he's in space or if he's a wide three technique, which is lining up wide on the offensive guard and almost a gap player, that's his best position.
He's not Roy Miller.
You know, if he gets covered up and he gets in traffic, I think he can get overwhelmed a little bit by a bigger offensive lineman. But when he's on the edge, he has quick feet, quick first step. He has good leverage.
And he's aware.
And he understands the game of football. So, for a fourth-round pick, right? Fourth-rounder,
yeah.
It's a great addition to this ball club. I mean, he's a guy, he's going to make this team. I mean, he is going to be on the 53-man roster.
Register now, your last chance tomorrow night, the Florida Blue Family Night with Nickelodeon. The Jaguars and Nickelodeon are teaming up for a kid zone in the south end of Everbank Field during the annual Jaguars scrimmage. Gates open at 5:30. Scrimmage is free, but you must register at jaguars.com/family night. And we'll have coverage right here on radio at 6:30 tomorrow night. And on jaguars.com, you can watch the entire scrimmage live tomorrow. We'll look around the NFL when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
I'm Jeff Prosser.
And I'm Dan Hicken, the straw that stirs the drink. We have a little show called The Drill, weekday mornings on 1010XL 92.5 FM. You better be listening.
The CSI Companies has been getting the people business right for more than 20 years in Jacksonville. CSI proudly opened their doors just as the Jaguars came to town. And they've been valuable business partners for some of Jacksonville's largest companies. Do you have a need for temporary help during a busy time period? Looking for a team of IT consultants for a special project? CSI can help. Call them at 800-582-0828 or go to thecsicompanies.com. Don't partner with just anyone. Partner with the CSI Companies, proud partner of your Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Local Union 234 is proud to be a partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars for the 2016 season. We are also proud of the men and women that we call our family here at UA 234. For over 115 years, we have been supporting local businesses and serving Northeast Florida with pride. It is our men and women that make a difference in the community that we all call home. Thank you to everyone for supporting the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Local Union 234 and the Jaguars. To learn more about us, go to UA234.com. Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Local Union 234. Make the right connection.
U.S. soccer is back at Everbank Field. The U.S. men's national team is back in action in a World Cup qualifying match, and tickets are available now. Watch Clint Dempsey and Michael Bradley take on Trinidad and Tobago live September 6th at 8 p.m. under the lights in Jacksonville. Come watch the best soccer players in the U.S. make their push for the World Cup on the world's largest video boards at Everbank Field. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com or call 800-745 3000.
Every time you grab an ice-cold 20-ounce Pepsi, you'll find a Pepsi emoji on the side of the bottle. So while the Pepsi delivers this, the Pepsi emoji delivers this. Ooh. So go ahead, crack open a Pepsi and tell the world how you feel and what you love with Pepsi emojis. Say it with Pepsi.
Jags fans, save your cash and break out the Jaguars Visa debit card instead. Available only from Everbank. It's the card that yields to no one. And it's free when you open an Everbank Yield Pledge checking account featuring powerful mobile banking apps and unlimited ATM reimbursements nationwide when you keep a minimum average daily balance of at least $5,000. So get your Jags debit card and start paying with pride. Connect with Everbank and their team of experts at a financial center near you or online at everbank.com/JagsCard. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Everbank. Member FDIC.
The Ford Freedom sales event is on, and 0% Ford credit financing is back. Plus, specially tagged vehicles get 1,000 smart bonus cash. That's freedom from interest with Ford, America's best-selling brand.
Not all buyers qualify for 4-credit limited-term financing. Supply of vehicles with smart bonuses limited. Not available on Focus RS, Shelby GT350, Transit, Transit Connect, E-Series, F650, and F750. See dealer or go to Ford.com for qualifications and complete details. For all offers, take new retail delivery from dealer stock by 8-1-2016. Sales claim based on 2015 calendar year sales.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's what we're talking about!
Talking Jaguars football is what we do. 1010XL. 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Hyundai of Orange Park on Blanding and Westside Hyundai on Cassett. Now you can drive a new Elantra or Sonata with no payments until 2017. Stop by today, Jaguars Thursday.
Can I ask a question?
J.P. Shadrick, that's Tony Baselli. Jeff Lagerman's here, too. What's up, Tony?
I feel like you were just yelling at me to go buy a car. Like, you were really loud there.
It's like a car commercial.
I mean, you were yelling at us. I don't think the people want to be yelled at.
He had his plaid suit on.
I mean, my goodness gracious.
Hot deals here, hot deals! Coming out, hot deals, hot deals!
I mean, can we turn his mic down, Joe? I mean, my goodness. When we start selling cars. Yeah,
that little dial that you have right there in front of your box.
When yeah. Well, you know what?
Just crank it down.
You know what? I first noticed that I had the headsets off first when you started doing it. I'm like, my goodness, JP is screaming at the audience.
Let's look around the National Football League, shall we? We start off with more troubles for the Cowboys, but this time on the field. Ezekiel Elliott's going to miss some time with a hamstring issue, the running back. Now McFadden and Dunbar on the sideline with injuries as well. Alfred Morris is getting the bulk of the reps at running back. They're banged up.
Alfred Morris is a good back. I think that's a very good acquisition for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he was the bell cow in Washington for a number of years. Now, this team saw firsthand how good he can be. You know, so, I mean, the Cowboys are fine.
Yeah, they got depth of back. It's a quarterback issue. Kellen Moore getting hurt, breaking his leg.
Yep.
They contacted
a defensive issue with all the suspensions they have.
Yeah, they got a lot of issues.
They contacted Nick Foles, but Foles signed with the Chiefs instead. McCown in Cleveland could be a trade option.
Yeah, that's all speculation, but they'd have to give something up for McCown, and the Dallas Cowboys, you know, don't like to give up draft picks for anybody. Nobody does, you know, and especially for a backup quarterback, you know, so.
Well, the backup the last couple of years has had a lot of time.
Well, Michael Vick told the Cowboys he's available. You know, I don't know what Michael Vick has left in the tank.
Not a lot. I saw him. I did a game last year on the Thursday night package, and he started against the Bengals. He does not have much left. Just
still,
not much left.
Still doesn't.
God, how old is he now?
36.
Yeah.
He's not that old. But, I mean, he's, you know, Michael Vick at 36 is like most people at 27, 28.
His legs still work, but you know, listen, he got away with things because he was like the best athlete in the NFL playing quarterback. And
he doesn't read a defense,
he was never great at that.
Never been a strong suit.
The Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, signed a 5-year, $62.5 million extension with the Cardinals.
Big money.
Averaging more than $12 million a year, $40 million guaranteed for the Honey Badger.
And has had two ACLs for the Cardinals.
I was shocked by the deal. Honey Badger's very good, but he's two ACLs playing safety/corner. Undersized player. You worry about injury always for those type of guys. And he's had two the last 2 years, serious knee injuries. I'm not sure you had to give him 40 guaranteed. Big deal. Happy for him. Good for him. I'm just shocked the Cardinals did it. They have $109 million of guaranteed money locked up in the secondary.
With Patrick Peterson?
And then Honey Badger, and there's one other guy. I don't know who it was. But
a lot of money. Mm. You know, he's a great story, though.
It's unbelievable.
Honey Badger is, you know, where – you know, from being, what, story kicked off redemption. The team at LSU.
Redemption.
You know, liking to smoke dope.
Synthetic
and then,
marijuana or
and
whatever.
And, you know, ends up cleaning his act up. You know, congratulations to him.
He's I'm happy for him. I'm just shocked by the amount of guaranteed for a guy coming up to ACLs.
Chargers receiver Stevie Johnson tore meniscus during Sunday's practice. They still have Allen and Benjamin Gates, Woodhead out of the backfield, and we get him week two.
Well, and they've been bringing in some wide receivers, but the big story out of San Diego is Joey Bosa is still unsigned, the only first-round draft pick that is not at camp with his team. It was reportedly there's an argument about
offset language with the player and payout with the first round contract.
It is now the longest holdout since the new CBA.
Well, I don't fault Joey Bosa whatsoever and his camp and his agents. You know, he was a top five pick. Top five picks typically either have the guaranteed money paid up front within, you know, timely fashion, within, you know, 4 or 5 months, you know, before the end of the year.
Or they get major offset language.
Or they don't have offset language.
That's what I mean. They have no offset language, right.
And right now the Chargers are sticking to their position that they want offset language and the payout would be over the course of time.
The longest period of time for any top five pick, I think, since the new CBA.
Yes. Yeah. And
I just said that.
Joey
Tony.
Bosa That's and great. The camp.
No, you said the longest said holdout. I said so the money would be spread out the longest period of time.
Okay, great.
So you didn't say
He's
that.
He's in the right. He's in the right. I mean, if.
Yeah, I agree with Joey Bosa on this one.
Absolutely.
All right, that's our look around the National Football League. Sorry about that.
Before you correct me, be right.
That's a good point.
Oh,
how about tomorrow night?
Wait a minute. We've got Hall of Fame game this weekend and the Hall of Fame induction. That's Can't right. believe around the league you haven't done that.
That's right.
Tony, is
Brett Favre's going last.
I mean, I don't know if anybody else loves the inductions as much as I do. I love watching the Hall of Fame inductions. I DVR it every time if I can't watch it. Just because I love seeing the old players, love hearing the speech of the players. And then the Hall of Fame game is kind of the start of the year for the NFL. Oh, you know, it's the first game. Yeah. And what is it, Packers-Colts?
Packer-Colts.
Kevin Green's going into the Hall of Fame, one of the greatest pass rushers to ever play in the National Football
Tony
League.
Tony Dungy.
Brett Favre.
I mean, it's going to be
Marvin Harrison.
Great. It's going to be
Orlando
a great
Pace.
Weekend in the National Football League. Orlando Pace, fantastic player.
All right, so you brought it up. What is the best Hall of Fame speech you guys have heard? Since you're into it so much, Jeff, what is your favorite of all time?
It was the wide receiver that played for the San Diego Chargers for a very long period of time. Coached in the NFL, still coaching in the NFL. Oh, what is his name? Drawing a blank. I'll tell you week after next, for next week in pregame.
Yeah.
But he was incredible. He was moving. But even Jerome Bettis had a great induction speech. I thought his was fantastic. Some of them aren't so good.
Charles Haley was wacky.
Oh,
funny.
He's always been wacky.
Yeah.
But it should be a lot of fun. It should be a lot of fun watching it.
Kenny Stabler, right?
Kenny Stabler posthumously is going in.
And Madden is supposedly doing a video presentation for him. So that should be good television as well. So that's coming up this weekend, yeah.
Looking
it's here, man.
That.
And the scrimmage tomorrow night. Family night scrimmage, finally under the lights in the stadium. What do you look forward to tomorrow?
Well, first and foremost, for the people of Jacksonville that are coming out, for them to see the changes in the stadium. Because, I mean, they are truly amazing what they've been able to accomplish since the conclusion of last season and what they've been able to do in a short period of time, the way it's
looks
finished.
Great.
It is fantastic. It not only is fantastic when you're inside the clubs, but when you're inside the bowl and you see that open area in conjunction with scoreboards and the cabanas and the club in the south end zone, the Bud Zone, I mean – it's amazing that this stadium is in the position that where it's at right now with the age that it has on it. And credit goes to the city, Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, and everybody that was involved in the construction process because it's remarkable.
It's coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, it'll be good. Listen, it's we call it a scrimmage, but it's an amped up practice. I mean, it's still going to be controlled. There's not going to be live tackling. But it's going to be it'll be a practice with all 11-on-11 drills, basically what it ends up. Takeaway individual for the most part, not really much one-on-one stuff. It'll be all team, situational, 2 minutes, some goal line. Goal line might be live. In years past, goal line's been live, tackled to the ground. I'm not sure what they'll do this year, but it'll be a good look to see some of the young guys play, and I'm looking forward to see Dante Fowler rush the quarterback. I'll say that much.
I'm looking forward to the lights coming on and the tempo going up because that's just instinct for a player.
Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli, JP Shadrick, Joe Fortunato's over there. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Preseason game next Thursday. That's it for Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Home of the Jaguars, WJXL AM Jacksonville Beach, WJXL FM Jacksonville Beach.